1 John chapter 2 this morning, verses 12 through 14, as we continue in our series entitled Losing My Religion. And this morning I want to talk to you about how to measure your growth. How can you know for a fact that you're growing in the Lord? So 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse number 12. Let's stand together, please, as we read from God's Word. Bible says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. If I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you're strong and the Word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. Father, bless the reading and the preaching of your Word this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit would truly be our teacher and our guide and that you would just reveal yourself to us in a very clear way today. In Jesus' name, amen. In a periodical known as the Last Days Newsletter, Leonard Ravenhill tells about a group of tourists who were visiting a very picturesque village. And as they were making their journey through this village, they walked by an old man who was sitting beside a fence. And in somewhat of a patronizing way, one of the tourists said to this old gentleman, "Were any great men born in this village?" The old man thought for a minute and said, "Nope, only babies." Well, the same can be said about Christians. Someone could ask, Have there been some great Christians born into this world? And the answer to that question would be the same as the one given by the elderly gentleman. Nope, only babies have been born into this world. But you see, when a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are referred to as a babe in Christ because that is exactly what they are. But the goal of the babe in Christ is to grow in Christ-likeness every day with the understanding that it does not happen overnight. Now, just as a baby doesn't become an adult overnight, neither does a babe in Christ become a mature believer overnight. Unfortunately, there are some Christians who never seemingly reach the maturity stage. They never seem to mature or grow in their faith. Some Christians, I want you to hear what I'm saying, some Christians are saved, but they're not growing. They're saved, but they're not growing. Now, John mentions three different groups of people this morning. He mentions children, fathers, and young men. And before we get into the passage that I want to communicate to you this morning, I want to let you know something. John knows what he's talking about. He speaks from experience as he goes through the growth process of a believer. John was not born a great Christian any more than any of us were. Turned out okay, but he wasn't always that way. And he did not mature overnight. As a matter of fact, for a long time, even while he was walking with Jesus, he was very rough around the edges. When he got saved, he was mean, he was nasty, and he stayed that way for a little while even after he began to follow Jesus Christ. I mean, when you think about him, he had a violent disposition. Remember what his nickname was? He was one of the sons of thunder. One of the sons of thunder. He probably had a hair trigger temper and a very violent disposition. Mark chapter 10, verse 37 says, they replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. Well, that one of those guys was John. So not only was he violent and nasty, he was selfish. Because he wanted a prime seat when it came to the kingdom of God. Let me tell you what else he was. Luke chapter 9, verses 54 and 55. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Now, these were some folks that James and John didn't like. They were prejudiced against. And so they asked Jesus, why don't we just call down fire out of heaven and just wipe them off the face of the earth? Then we won't have to fool with them again. Can I remind you, this is our two guys who are following Jesus who have this prejudice in their heart. So, here was a man who was violent, selfish, and prejudiced. He was a man that before he grew up in the Lord was probably somewhat hard to live with. He was a disciple, a follower, a believer, yet he had a lot of growing to do. The reason he had a lot of growing to do was because he was a babe in Christ. And that's where some of you are this morning. This is perhaps your background, the background that you came out of or are coming out of. These are some of the same struggles you find yourself faced with this morning. The temper gets you every now and then. You're selfish every now and then. And some of the same old prejudices you live with before Christ, you still struggle with today. The reason I'm telling you that, John knows what he's talking about when it comes to growing as a Christian, is because this is what happened to him over the course of time. Because let's fast forward, and as we fast forward, we find this same man who was mean and nasty at one time, who was selfish at one time, who was prejudiced at one time, he is the same John who is leaning against the breast of Jesus at the Lord's Supper. He is that close to him. Jesus, as a matter of fact, refers to him, or others refer to him, as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So he's come a long way. He's also lost his prejudice. Look at Acts chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. When the... That's not it. Acts 8. Not there? All right, turn in your Bible. That's when we got it. Turn your Bibles. Acts 8, verses 14 and 15. It says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Peter and John, when they arrived. Now here's a guy that at one time wanted to call down fire from heaven on him. And now all of a sudden he's thankful for what God is doing in their lives. In other words, he was changed. He was transformed. He had grown up. He experienced what he's talking about. And so you can say this morning that if God can change someone like John, then he can certainly change you. Well, let's take a look at this spiritual growth process that John talks about in this passage. Here's where it starts. It starts with the baby stage. Oh, isn't that cute? That's my baby picture. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. But it starts with the baby stage. Now, what is the mark of a childlike Christian? Excitement. Excitement, I think, is the major mark of a newborn believer. They're excited. And why shouldn't you be excited? I mean, you had your sins forgiven. You've gotten your life right with God. Why shouldn't you be excited? Your life is not lived in the rearview mirror anymore. Everything that used to go on, everything that bugged you in the past, everything is become brand new. All the old things are passed away. So there is nothing more exciting than watching a child with something new. They get so excited, they just can't stand it. But have you learned that all you really have to do is buy the box that the thing comes in? That's all you have to do. Just buy the box the thing comes in. Because they seem to like the box more than they like the thing. So we could save a lot of money if we just buy boxes. But there are many parents and grandparents who would like to keep their child at a certain age. But we can't afford to have those types of aspirations for those who are babies in Christ. But it is true that newborn babies have issues that with time can and will be overcome. Now I want you to think about some of the characteristics of a tiny little baby. They're lazy. All they do is lay around all day. They lay around and they let other people wait on them. They're lazy. You know what else they are? They're rude. I mean, they'll burp in your face. They'll spit up all over your clothes. They don't care. They're rude. They're also selfish and self-centered. It's all about them. No matter what time of the day or the night it is, it's all about them. They don't care if it's 3:00 in the morning. They want to play. It's time to play. They don't care. So they're lazy, they're rude, and they're selfish. And they do these things because this is what babies do. It comes very natural to them. Well, here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying all newborn Christians are lazy, rude, and selfish. I'm not saying that. But don't expect the newborn in Christ to get everything right the first time. Not going to happen. Don't expect them to make monumental jumps in spiritual growth and development, but do hold them accountable the same as you would a child who should know better when it comes to certain things. Now, the moment a person accepts Christ, regardless of their age, they become a child. A baby when it comes to the things of God. You see, the church ought to be a maternity ward. That's really what the church ought to be. Where there's new birth going on and we're nurturing and we're taking care of those who are young in the faith, those who are being saved, those who are coming to know Jesus. That's what the role of the church should be. But the sad thing, though, is that there are some spiritual babies who never seem to progress past the maternity ward. They never grow. They never mature. Can you imagine a 45-year-old man being rocked in the nursery sucking his thumb? Not a pleasant thought, is it? Can you imagine a 45-year-old guy in diapers in the nursery? No. But we're talking about spiritual babies. We're talking about those people who are young in the faith, but the desire is to grow in the faith. But yet there are some who never get out of the spiritual nursery. So some people have been saved a long time. They've not progressed past this initial stage of growth. Everybody goes through it, but everyone is supposed to progress beyond it. So that's how you get into the family of God. You're born into it. You're a child in the faith. You're a babe in Christ. So that's where you begin your journey of spiritual growth and development, right there in the baby stage. But now, as we said, we don't want to stay in that baby stage forever. So that brings us then to the warrior stage. To the warrior stage. Now, I like this. In verse 13 and verse 14, he's talking about young men. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, young men, because you're strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. Now, ladies, don't think that John has left you out, because for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit decided to use the terminology young men to use that. But just remember, we're talking about different stages of growth and development as a Christian. And so each of these stages we have to go through in our maturity. Now, the young man stage is when one moves from the baby stage to manhood. They are growing in their faith. And he speaks of them as being overcomers. And I want to interject the word warrior, because somebody overcomes. That's warrior-like, if you overcome something. So he's talking about going through the warrior stage. And the Word of God is that which allows a person to move beyond the baby stage into the warrior stage. Now, John says that they are strong. These young men are strong because they have the Word of God living inside of them. They have the Word of God living inside of them. The Word of God is not something that you just read or that you have read to you. It is something which must take up residence inside of you, because it is the only way that you will become strong and warrior-like. Now, I need to tell you something. The devil does not want you to become a warrior. He doesn't want you to become a warrior. And that's why he gives you every excuse under the sun as to why you don't have time to read your Bible. Or he will keep you so busy that you don't have time to read your Bible. At least you don't think that you do. And he can continue to overcome you instead of you becoming an overcomer if he can keep you out of this book. Because he knows that if what is in this book ever gets inside the children of God, he doesn't have a chance. So that's why he doesn't want you to read it. That's why he makes it difficult for you to read it. If you do not have the Word of God in your life, giving you wisdom and guidance and strength, then the spiritual warfare you find yourself involved in is not a fair fight, because you are at a tremendous disadvantage because you do not have the Word of God living inside of you. Let's say that you found the greatest high school football team in the nation. I mean, they're number one. They hadn't lost a game, and they're just as a strong a high school football team as you could find anywhere in this country. And you put them on one side of the field as one of the participants. And then out of the tunnel comes the Super Bowl champion New York Giants. And they're on the other side. Let me tell you something about that high school team. They don't have a prayer. They don't have a prayer of competing with the New York Giants. They're not strong enough. They're not mature enough to get the job done. And the same is true if we fail to progress from the baby stage to the warrior stage. Now, some of you guys, and maybe some of you girls, I don't know, some of you ladies, when we were younger, we played a game out in the backyard called throw behind tackle. Anybody ever play throw behind tackle? I'm the only one to ever do that. That's just a Bessemer thing, I guess. I don't know. But what you would do, sometimes we called it smear. Yeah, okay. Now I'm talking, right? Now I'm communicating. Okay. So anyhow, somebody would kick off, somebody would get the ball, everybody would tackle the guy with the ball, and then he would stand with his back to everybody, throw it over his head, somebody would get it, try to run, everybody tackle them, okay? So it's throw behind tackle. See, that's why they call it that. Okay. But very rarely did we ever play with pads. You need a helmet, you need shoulder pads, you need none of that stuff. You just went out there and played. You didn't need it. But if you played high school or college or pro football, no one would want to play the game without all the pads and all the protection they could get their hands on. Because like football, spiritual warfare is a violent confrontation. For the goal of spiritual warfare from Satan's vantage point is not just to win, but to destroy and to knock you out of the game. That's why Paul knew how important it was when you go into battle to be dressed for success. In Ephesians, he talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Don't leave off a piece of it. Put it all on so that you will be protected from the attacks of the evil one. Put on the whole armor of God. That's what a warrior does. Puts on everything he can put on to go to battle. The young child doesn't always recognize danger. And they may trip and they may fall and they may injure themselves. But when one enters the warrior stage of Christian development, some of that should change. I mean, you should not be as vulnerable as you once were. You shouldn't fall into as many of the devil's traps as you once did. And it's all because you find yourself now not only reading the Word of God, but taking the Word of God inside your life and living your life by the Word of God. A warrior is one who is trained and who is willing and who is ready to meet the enemy head on, not only for their protection, but for the protection of others. So there's the baby stage in spiritual growth and development. That's where everybody starts. Then there's that warrior stage, that young man stage. Young men, young women still have a lot to learn, still have some growing to do, but yet they're making progress, and it's because they've gotten into the Word and the Word has gotten into them. So, baby stage, warrior stage. Here's the third stage. It's called the fatherhood stage. The fatherhood stage. This is where we come to grips with the fact that our goal in life is to be Christ-like and to become like God, who is our Heavenly Father. Well, how do you get there? How do you progress from the baby stage to the warrior stage to the fatherhood stage? Well, it's actually very simple, because you've already, you got into the Word in the warrior stage. Okay? You're beginning to make progress because you got in the Word. Well, how do you get to the fatherhood stage? Very simple. You spend time with God. The more time you spend with Him, the more like Him you will become. Have you ever heard that the longer people live together, the more they begin to look like each other? Paul is getting real nervous. But it's true. It's true. But how can you tell if you are becoming like your Heavenly Father? How can you tell if you've progressed past the baby stage and the warrior stage, and now you're in that final stage of maturity? Well, look at some of the characteristics of a father. In order to become a father, you must have a child. It's profound, isn't it? I mean, to be a father, you have to have a child. And that's the way it works in the earthly realm. And because of that, your children look to you as their father. So a spiritual father, listen to me, a spiritual father has spiritual children. In other words, they seek to have a large family through soul winning. Because anybody that you win to faith in Christ, you basically become their father or mother in the faith. Okay? You're to mentor them. You have won them. God led you to win them to faith in Christ. And so now you have a responsibility to them. Fathers have wisdom that they're willing to share. Now, remember we're talking about, how do you know if you've gotten there? How do you know if you're out of the warrior stage now and you're in the fatherhood stage? Well, do people come to you when they have a heartache or a tear or a problem? Do people want to talk to you about spiritual things? If they do, it's because of your maturity. They sense it. They see it in your life. It's like having a Paul in your life. Someone who has matured in the faith. Someone who has grown past you and has something to offer you. Someone who does know what they're talking about. Let me ask you, do you have a Paul in your life? Do you have somebody who's willing to pour their life into you? Maybe you're in that baby stage or in that warrior stage, and you need help. You need help growing and developing. You need to be mentored. Do you have a Paul in your life? Everybody needs a Paul in their life. A father is not one who went through three distinct phases in their life and are thankful that they don't have to go through them again. Now, all three of these phases are legitimate. And a mature believer has been shaped and formed by each of them and should still possess the wonder of the baby stage and the tenacity of the warrior stage. You ever known a 50-year-old person that was nothing more than a big kid? I mean, you still never knew what was coming. You know? You're afraid to turn your back on them because you didn't know if a trick was coming or something. They still have that wonder of a child. And that's the way it ought to be. And then that person that grows up and they never forget what it was like before Christ, and they never forget what it was like when they came to understand, I'm supposed to put on all this armor. I am a warrior for God. I can overcome the evil one if I put this word not only in front of my eyes, but if I put this word in my heart and if I live this word out. In the father, there's a little child. In the father, there's a young man. A warrior. And if you are truly mature, in your faith, if you've reached the fatherhood stage, then all three of these phases will still be in you in a controlled and a dynamic way. Baby stage, warrior stage, fatherhood stage. Now, I know that some of you here this morning are in that baby stage. That's all right. You've just been saved. It's all right. But it's not all right if you've been a Christian for a long time and you're still in the baby stage. My word to you this morning is get out of the nursery. Some of you here this morning are in the warrior stage. And the Word of God is more exciting to you right now. You spend more time in it than you've ever spent in it in your entire Christian life. And you're just eating it up. You can't get enough of it. But you even realize yourself, I'm not there yet. I have my good days and my bad days, but I'm allowing the Word to guide and control my life. And then the goal for everyone here this morning is to get to the fatherhood stage of growth and maturity. Everybody in here is in one of those stages of growth and development right now if you're a Christian. So my plea to you this morning is read the Word of God. Don't worry about what you don't understand when you read the Word of God. Obey what you do understand. And before long, you'll be understanding what you didn't understand. It's amazing how that works. So how do you measure your growth? Baby stage, warrior stage, fatherhood stage. Where are you this morning? Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for a clear word from you today about the importance of growth and development. We know that when a child is born into this world, that they got some growing to do. They do have to be pampered. They do have to be taken care of. They do have to be taught different things as they grow older. But even though we would like to keep them perhaps at a certain age, we know that it's a natural thing for them to grow and develop and to go through different phases in their lives. And the same is true for a believer. We're born again as a child into the family of God. We have to have somebody to take care of us and watch over us and minister to our needs and help us learn how to grow and develop in the faith. And I pray for those that are there right now that they might learn, be willing to learn, be willing to apply what they learn. And God, we've got some men and women in here this morning who are in that warrior stage. They love your word. They're as close to you right now as maybe they've ever been in their life. They're as serious about their faith as they've ever been in their life. And they're growing. And it's because they're in the Word. But Lord, we know that as we grow older in our faith, and we mature and develop in our faith, that we ought to reach that fatherhood stage where people could come to us and say, hey, I got a problem. I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need somebody to pray for me. Lord, that's where you want us to get, because that's what we do with you. We acknowledge you as our Heavenly Father. And when we have a problem, we come to you. And we say, I need your help and I need your advice. So may we be that vessel through which you flow here on this earth in that fatherhood stage. But God, I'm also convinced that there are some here today who need to enter that baby stage of their faith. They need you as their Lord and as their Savior. They acknowledge the fact that they're a sinner, that they have done things that have displeased you. But they've also come to the realization that you love them enough that you would send your only son to die on a cross for them so that they could be saved, so that they could have all their sins forgiven, so that their past would be in the rearview mirror, and that they have a bright present and future to come. So, Lord, I pray for those who need to be saved this morning, that they might pray this prayer with me silently as I pray it out loud. Dear God, please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life and take complete control. I acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, bless those who prayed that prayer this morning. Give them the courage to take that first step of faith, knowing that if they'll take the first step, that you'll go the rest of the way with them throughout life. There may be others, God, who have other decisions they need to make about church membership. There may be some who need to come and say, God, I've been in the baby stage too long. It's time to progress, and I need to do it. And I just make a commitment to you today. But Lord, whatever those decisions are, we're going to trust you with them, and we're going to trust you with it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand together with me as we sing. Meet me here on the front right now.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
Every eye closed just for a moment. Let me talk to you seriously right now. Eternity is a long time to have to live with a bad decision. Jesus Christ loves you. He's shown you exactly how much He loves you by dying on a cross, taking your place, dying for your sins, so that you would not have to die and go to hell and be separated from Him forever. God is a loving God. He wants nothing but the best for your life. Isn't it time today to trust Him? Isn't it time today to put aside all the fears and all the anxiety, because Satan's is the one that's placing that in your life. Isn't it time to say, I want to trust Jesus. I know He loved me. I'm convinced of that fact. And I want to come to Him today. I mean, how long are you going to wait? Now, if you knew for a fact when your last day on this earth was, and you knew the time, then, you know, I guess you could wait. But you don't know that. And I don't know that either. So this is the most important decision that you'll ever make, is the one concerning your salvation, your relationship to God. So I'm like Paul now. I beg you. I beseech you to do the right thing today. Father, you know to whom your Spirit is speaking. You know that person, that those people that need to come today and do what they know is the right thing to do. I can't make their decision for them. I would, but I can't. Only they can do that. So I just pray right now in these moments that this church family would pray for a breakthrough. Pray that God would do what only God can do. Now I'm going to ask you to pray, folks. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. I'm going to ask you to pray. And I'm going to ask those of you who need to make that public decision for Jesus today, not going to put it off another service or another Sunday, going to do it today, to step out in that aisle of decision and come. If you don't want to come by yourself, the person beside you, I'm sure, will be glad to come with you and walk that aisle with you. But it's your decision. Your decision. Brother Dan, I want you to sing. Everybody else is praying. You come right now, would you?
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit.
Singing this last verse, one more verse just for you.
All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall.
That you have done that this morning. I hope you did exactly what God asked you to do. If not, please don't leave before you talk to myself or Brother Dana or somebody else about the decision that you need to make and want to make. And so I hope you'll do that. Just a quick reminder about the Olin Mills sign up out in the foyer. There'll be people there to help you with that. So go ahead and beat the rush and get signed up early and have that already done. So we'd appreciate that very much. Pray for me tonight as I go and participate in the ordination service, and pray for Brother Jeff as he preaches here tonight. All right, George French is going to come lead us in our closing prayer.
Let us pray. Lord, we praise you for your goodness to our nation, giving us blessings far beyond what we deserve. Yet we know all is not right with America. We deeply need moral and spiritual renewal to help us meet the many problems that we face. Convict us of sin. Help us turn to you in repentance and faith. Set our feet on the path of your righteousness and peace. We pray today for our leaders. Give them the wisdom to know what is right and the courage to do it. You have said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." May this be a new time for America as we humble ourselves and acknowledge you alone as Savior and Lord. This we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.